Part 3. In this part, you will hear three talks or lectures. The talks or lectures will not be repeated. There are 5 questions for each talk or lecture. For each question, choose the right answer, A, B, C, or D. Questions 21 to 25 refer to the following talk. Listen to a career counselor about 2 different types of employees.
Are you going to be more effective and happy as a specialist or as a generalist? Do you find real satisfaction in the precision, order, and system of a clearly laid out job? Or are you one of those people who tend to grow impatient with anything that looks like a routine job? There are a great many careers in which the emphasis is on specialization. You find these careers in engineering and in accounting, in production, in statistical work, and in teaching. But there is an increasing demand for people who are able to take in a great area at a glance. There is, in other words, a demand for people who are capable of seeing the forest rather than the trees, of making overall judgments. And these generalists are particularly needed for administrative positions, where it is their job to see that other people, to organize other people's work, to initiate it and appraise it. Specialists understand one field. Their concern is with technique, tools, and media. They are trained people, and their educational background is technical or professional. Generalists, and especially administrators, deal with people. Their concern is with leadership, with planning, with direction, and with coordination. They are educated people, and the humanities are their strongest foundation. Any organization needs both kinds of people, although different organizations need them in different ratios. It is your job to find out, during your college years, into which of these 2 job categories you fit, and to plan your career accordingly.
Questions 26 to 30 refer to the following talk. Listen to a talk given by an economics instructor. One of the major problems in our economy is inflation, a situation in which prices are going up faster than wages. Thus, a person has to work more hours to pay for the same items. For example, let's say that this year a loaf of bread costs $1 and the average salary in the United States is $10 per hour. That means a person could earn enough money to buy a loaf of bread in 1/10 of an hour or 6 minutes. Then, halfway through the year, the price of the bread goes up to $1.25. While wages stay the same, that means that a person has to work 1/8 of an hour, 7.5 minutes, to buy the same loaf of bread. Now, let's say that at the end of the year, wages go up to $11 per hour, but the price of the bread goes up to $1.50. Now, a person has to work more than 1/7 of an hour, over 8 minutes, to buy the same loaf of bread. As you can see, if more and more work time is spent earning money to buy loaves of bread, employees will have less money left over to buy other things. Inflation means that the same money buys fewer things, and everybody's standard of living goes down, even if salaries are going up. Some kinds of inflation are worse than others. Moderate inflation does not distort relative prices or income severely. Galloping inflation happens rapidly, say at a rate of 100% or more within a year. And then there is hyperinflation, inflation so severe that people try to get rid of their currency before prices rise further and render the money worthless. Times of hyperinflation are usually characterized by social and political turmoil. Questions 31 to 35 refer to the following lecture. Listen to a lecture in a psychology class. Psychology is a relatively new science. Like other sciences, psychology must be able to state laws. A law is a way of organizing knowledge about something so that we can make predictions. When enough knowledge is gained about a subject, a scientist can state precisely what will happen under certain conditions. We experimental psychologists are interested in developing laws about human behavior so that we'll be able to understand and predict what people do and why they do it. Of course, to develop laws about human behavior, we must assume there's some regularity to it. We can't be psychologists without making the assumption that behavior follows certain patterns. One of the major laws psychologists have discovered is called the law of effect. The law of effect states that whether or not a person will repeat a behavior depends on the effect that behavior has. If an action is rewarded, it's likely to be repeated. If the action is not rewarded, or if it's punished, it's not likely to be repeated. How do psychologists state laws? First, using available knowledge, a psychologist makes a hypothesis about behavior. Then, the psychologist tested the hypothesis through an experiment. But even if the experiment proves the hypothesis was correct, it's not yet a law. It's just the beginning of the work. To arrive at a law that will apply to all humans, many repetitions of the experiment must be conducted under different conditions. Only repeated verification, specially proof that the behavior can be predicted, will result in a law.